So this morning we start a new series which will take us over the next couple of months, and we're looking at the life of Elijah. And today in the first part we're looking at the spirit of Elijah in isolation at the brook. In the book of James we are told that Elijah was a man just like us. Now maybe when you read that you think, well, Elijah wasn't really like me after all. He was a man who appeared in front of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses. He represented the prophets. Around him was this cluster of miracles. He was one of the key people in the Old Testament around whom we see these miracles. So maybe you're saying, like I say, you know, is he really a man just like me? And yet, at other times in his life, he showed weakness. He was a man who ran from others. He was a man who was sometimes in fear of his life and who even got depressed. So maybe James is right when he says that Elijah was a man just like us. But he was greatly used of God despite his weaknesses. And we can be greatly used of God as well. He can use our strengths, our gifts, but he can also use our weaknesses. Over the next couple of months, we're going to delve into this story of Elijah, a man of whom it was said, he comes in like a tempest and he goes out like a whirlwind. He was a man who was countercultural. As one of God's prophets, he wasn't afraid to speak out the word of the Lord that was given to him. And he spoke at a time when the king of Israel was Ahab. Now, Ahab was a gifted man, but he was also someone who was leading Israel astray more and more, leading them into false worship and into the worship of Baal. It also didn't help that Ahab had married Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was a force to be reckoned with. She was someone who could quite easily dispose of prophets or anyone who stood in her way. And this marriage was not helping Ahab. It was leading him astray. It was leading him to false worship. So here we have Elijah coming into this situation. It was a situation that hadn't come out of the blue. For the past 80 years and six previous kings, there had been more and more drifting and backsliding and going away from the word of the Lord, culminating in King Ahab. So I feel the Lord wants us to look at this life of Elijah today, and I think it will be helpful for us, especially in this crisis that we're going through, in these difficult times, in these extreme circumstances. Because Elijah found himself in these extreme circumstances as well, and the word of the Lord came to him, and I'm trusting and hoping that the word of the Lord will come to us through Elijah today. At a time when Christianity in the West is under attack, at a time when God is not really listened to or his word is ignored. So hopefully as Elijah speaks, he will speak to our hearts. It's easy for us to rail at the world and to see that the world is not following God's standards, but I want these messages to primarily speak to the church, to our hearts. And for us during this time to ask ourselves the question, where am I with God? Where is God's word in my heart and in my life? And maybe we will use this series as a period where we can renovate our heart. Through this time of crisis, with many people locked in their homes, they're renovating their rooms, they're painting, they're decorating, they're in their gardens. But what about renovating our own hearts through this season as we allow Elijah, that great prophet, to speak to us? I heard someone say, let's not waste a crisis. And let's see if we as a church can come stronger through this crisis of faith and this crisis of lockdown. And so I think studying Elijah will be good for us. The Old Testament, of course, was a theocracy. The state and the laws set down in the Ten Commandments and so on were seen as one. The king was meant to lead the people forward in obedience to the laws of God in his word. We are not in that kind of situation today, so we can't take the Old Testament and apply it immediately to our government or to our country or to our society, but we can apply it to our lives and to the church. for Old Testament Israel, read the church. And so as we go through this crisis that we as a church face, as well as society, we're not allowed to meet together, and we don't know how long this will last. But I want this series to challenge us at the deepest level of our souls, that we will come out of it not as bitter, but as better people. I want us at this time not just to ask questions like, what will the new normal look like, but to ask, what will I look like? Will I grow in my sanctification? Will I grow in my Christ-likeness because of this spirit of Elijah as he speaks to us today prophetically? And so we come into this passage, this little episode at the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 17. We begin at a time of hardship, of isolation, and of drought. Elijah appears on the scene apparently out of nowhere. He comes from Tishbe in Gilead, and he speaks to King Ahab. Ahab, we are told in the Bible, did more to provoke the Lord to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. Israel, as I've said, were worshipping false gods. The leadership was rotten, and the king was leading people astray. And so the first word that Elijah gives to Ahab is short, but it's not sweet. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there shall be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. I'm sure you've noticed, but we haven't had rain for about 5 or 6 weeks. It has been a period of very, very dry, very unusual for us in Northern Ireland. And we've probably enjoyed that. But I want you to imagine going back to this word that Elijah speaks to Ahab. And for at least 3 years, there is not going to be a drop of dew or a drop of rain. Now imagine in our country, if the 5, 6 weeks without rain turned into months and turned into years. Things are bad at the minute, but just imagine how bad that would be. No rain for the crops, no water for the animals. Things like swimming pools may be closing down because you can't use water for those. No golf courses, fewer and fewer crops and food for us to eat. Can you imagine the stress and the pressure that would be on leadership through a time such as that? You can imagine what Ahab felt. It was, in a way, an announcement of war against Baal. You see, the god Baal was the god of fertility. He was the god of crops and harvest. So what was happening here was that Elijah was throwing down the gauntlet to Baal and saying, you, Baal, are meant to be the god of rain and crops and fertility and harvest. But my God says, no, there will be no more rain, no more dew for 3 years. Let's see who is Lord. A few months ago, we were hearing a lot about Australia. Just at the end of last year, there were a lot of bushfires, hundreds of bushfires all around Australia because they were in a drought and they weren't getting rain. And all the experts and the scientists and the weather people were saying, look, we're not going to get rain until maybe at least April when the autumn rains come. But the church began to pray, and Christians began to pray. And way back in January, not April, but in January, the rains began to come. And one by one, these bushfires began to go out. And yet we heard very, very little in the commentaries of the journalists or the newspapers about this answer to prayer. Yet God had graciously moved. And perhaps again, we should be asking God to graciously move in this crisis. We as the church have a role to play. We as the church need to pray. To pray for our land, to pray for our world at this time of crisis. I wonder, have you also noticed, as I have noticed, that every one of these daily briefings from the Prime Minister and his office, he's usually flanked by scientists. Science is being name-checked. It's as if science will have all the answers. And yet it sometimes seems to me as if the scientists are struggling every bit as much as the rest of us to understand what is going on. Wouldn't it be good if instead of at one of those podiums, instead of having a scientist, maybe we had a church leader who was calling us to pray for this situation? I doubt that it will happen, because we seem today to believe more in the God science than the God, the Lord, who is in control. So as we enter into this, further into this period of lockdown and isolation, a word comes to Elijah. He has given this word to Ahab, and then another word comes to him to go and hide. He's to go and hide in the brook Cherith or Cherith. He is to have a time of just being alone with God and to hear what God is saying to him, and maybe through him to Israel or through him to the church. It is a time of Sabbath. Eugene Peterson says, Sabbath is the time to receive silence and let it deepen into gratitude. Through this time of silence that we have, it's perhaps a time to deepen our gratitude, our thanksgiving, and to recognize all the blessings that we have that God has given to us. There wasn't much for Elijah to do beside the brook. He was going to be here for weeks or months. We're not sure how long. Notice that he is told to go to a brook, not a river, but a brook. A brook is uncertain. A brook means that he has to be very dependent on God. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 15 and verse 18, the prophet Jeremiah is going through a difficult time. And he expresses his own doubts in this way. Will you, God, be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Jeremiah had been in a situation where he felt that God was maybe not to be relied on like a brook. Elijah is told to go and sit beside a brook. He is going to be totally dependent on God. And not only this, but he's told that the ravens, God has ordered the ravens, he has commanded the ravens, the birds, to come and feed him. This was the first of many miracles around Elijah's life. When as Christians we carry God's prophetic word in our hearts and we're called to share it, it's not easy. We become more dependent on God. It's a risky venture. But God's prophetic word is meant to be unsettling and provocative, maybe to come as an admonishment, primarily to the church and then to the society and the community in which we live. Maybe in this season we need to be open to God's prophetic word as to what he is saying to the church as all is stripped away. I'm reminded of that song by Matt Redman where he speaks about coming to the true heart of worship. When all is stripped away, even the instruments are stripped away, and we simply come and we worship God. And in a sense, that's what's happening here with Elijah at the brook. It's an uncertain brook. He's so dependent on God. He's thrust into isolation. And he's learning lessons about himself, as well as about King Ahab. And as we're in this situation of isolation, we don't know how many more weeks we'll be in lockdown. Don't waste this crisis. Use it as a time to go deeper with God, to strip away the layers of pride, the layers of arrogance, the layers of self-centeredness, the layers of lust, the layers of independence, and ask God to speak to your heart through this time. As you sit beside the brook Cherith, will you listen to what God is saying to you at this time? Instead of devoting more time to the box sets and Netflix, why don't you have extended quiet times? Get a good spiritual book and really get into it. Spend more time with God and his word. And as we emerge from this time, this crisis, it may be a time when we emerge stronger and better and knowing God more and asking him to speak through us prophetically to this society. I think it was Francis of Assisi who said, as God sanctifies me, he sanctifies society. This is what we can offer society today: our holiness, our sanctification, our willingness to listen to the word of God and then to speak that word into people's hearts. Will God be seen as our treasure? Will God be our manna? Will God bring stuff to us through this time that will strengthen us? Ahab is in his luxurious palace. He's got all his toys around him and all his comforts, and yet he's frustrated, he's angry, he's fuming, and he's far from God. But Elijah is in isolation, beside a simple brook, being fed by ravens. But he's in the presence of God, and he's feeding his soul on God. This is the spirit of Elijah. Let us have that spirit today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to Elijah and to Ahab, and as we hear that word afresh this morning, we surrender to that word. We ask, Lord, that in this time of lockdown, as we are in isolation, that we would hear the word of God afresh to our hearts. When all is stripped away, may we simply come afresh to you as Jesus, our Lord and Savior. May we bow the knee. May you speak to us. May you change us. Help us to be more and more obedient to what you're speaking into the church today, that we may rise anew, refreshed, renovated, reset, to be sent out into our world who needs to hear the word of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.